Hi, Gerwin Jones here with a new edition of From the Bookshelf. Today we are continuing to present excerpts from Insurgent Cuba, Race, Nation and Revolution, 1868 to 1898, by Ada Ferrer and published by the University of North Carolina Press in 1999. Ada Ferrer writes, "The insurrection that began in Cuba in August of 1879 was technically controlled by the Cuban Revolutionary Committee in New York, an association recently reorganized under the leadership of Calixto Garcia, a former white landowner from the predominantly white eastern jurisdiction of Holguín. Garcia had participated in the 10 Years' War, was captured by Spanish troops during his imprisonment, tried unsuccessfully to take his own life. He was freed by colonial authorities after the end of the war and then headed for New York. His reputation remained unscarred because he was among the few elite and prominent white leaders to have refrained from taking part in the Pact of Zanshun. And as such, he was welcomed by the enthusiastic pro-independence exiles. He reconstituted the Revolutionary Committee and published its manifesto, laying down the basis for a new anti-colonial effort and calling for the establishment of clandestine revolutionary clubs on and off the island. While Garcia prepared in New York for a new rebellion, Maceo did the same in Jamaica. It was hard to tell, even for the historic protagonists themselves, whether the efforts of these two men were coordinated or potentially at odds. Garcia had close followers keep tabs on Maceo's activities and speak and draw him out without disclosing that whatever he said would be relayed to Garcia. Flor Crombert, a mulatto from a Haitian family of coffee farmers and former slaveholders, and with Maceo a participant in the famous protest of Baragua, served as an important spy for Garcia, reporting, for example, that Maceo, identified as our man, had told him that he had never believed that the whites had a greater right nor greater duties than those of his race. Although Garcia and others in his camp distrusted Maceo, the two men reached an agreement on August 5, 1879. Garcia would be head of the entire rebellion, and Maceo would serve as head of the rebel army in Oriente. Maceo, they agreed, would be the first to arrive in eastern Cuba with an expedition of men and arms, and with the express support of Garcia and the other Cuban Revolutionary Committee. Once the revolution began, however, Garcia changed his mind, and Maceo was at a loss to reverse the situation. With Maceo anxious to leave Jamaica for Cuba, Garcia informed him personally that he could not, at least for the moment, go to Cuba as Oriente's leader. He told Maceo that he had decided to send in his place Brigadier Gregorio Benitez, a white insurgent from Puerto Príncipe. To justify the change of plans, Garcia explained, "Because the Spaniards have been saying that the war is a race war, and because white Cubans here have their fears, I have thought it inappropriate for you to arrive first, because that will give credit to Spanish assumptions." Garcia's decision was undeniably strategic, an effort to lend racial legitimacy to a movement publicly condemned as black. But the strategy served other ends as well, for in the process of excluding Maceo, Garcia also helped to consolidate his own and Benitez's role as leaders of the new insurgency. Garcia's efforts notwithstanding, the Spanish tactics of using race to divide the insurrection were largely successful. Throughout the war, Spaniards and often white Cubans characterized black participation as inherently different from white participation. Spaniards, as well as Creole members of the conservative and liberal parties, sought to undermine support for the rebellion by portraying it as a threat to civilized white society. And white Cuban independence leaders sometimes validated these charges by representing themselves as caretakers who would prevent the movement from succumbing to the dangerous tendencies represented by non-white participation. They classified black and white insurgent activity within categories that legitimized their own leadership and cast doubt on the motives of black and mulatto insurgents. While the differences attributed to black and white participation served obvious political objectives, the actions of leaders of color suggest that differences did sometimes exist in the goals and motivations of insurgent leaders. For example, a comparison of the public pronouncement of Calixto Garcia and Antonio Maceo revealed the extent to which anti-slavery and anti-racism were more central components of insurgent ideology and practice for Maceo rather than they were for Garcia. The manifestos of the Revolutionary Committee, led by Garcia, for example, rarely mentioned racial slavery explicitly, just as the committee's official slogan, La Independencia, explained the objectives of the new insurrection by speaking of political freedom in general terms, with little reference to the unfreedom of Africans and their descendants. Even after his arrival on the island in May, Garcia continued to speak of freedom in terms of Cuba's freedom from Spanish rule, without raising the issue of the freedom of slaves. By contrast, Maceo's first public statement after the start of the new war contained a lengthy section addressed to slaves. It advised them to join the cause of Cuban independence, the cause that had already won the freedom of their former partners. The black man, he told them, is as free as the white one. In October of 1879, Maceo responded to the colonial state's new ban prohibiting the entrance into Cuba of persons of color coming from abroad. Again, he reminded his audience that the new war was one for independence, with which they would achieve the emancipation of 300,000 slaves then living in Cuba. The movement's flag was the flag of all Cubans, and its principles were the equality of man. Maceo's statements always accorded the questions of emancipation and racial equality the same importance as the question of political independence. For Garcia, meanwhile, the issue of slaves' freedom and racial equality entered his public and private defences of the new insurrection only sporadically and never centrally. Differences also emerged upon examination of the words and actions of Guillermo Moncada, who, partly as a result of Maceo's absence, became the highest-ranking military officer of the rebel army in Oriente. Moncada, commonly identified as black, was a trained carpenter, born to a free black woman and raised in a community of free persons of color in the city of Santiago. Oral tradition held that long before the start of the First War of Independence, Moncada had used whatever opportunity presented itself to express his antipathy to slavery and Spanish rule. During annual carnivals, for example, he participated in a carnival band, or comparsa, named the Brujos de Limonés. The comparsa was named after a small army organized by a group of runaway slaves earlier in the country who dedicated themselves to attacking coffee and sugar estates, freeing and taking away their slave forces. During one such attack at a farm named Limonés outside the city of El Cobre, several children were killed, and Spanish authorities used the event to argue that fugitive slaves were brujos, or witches, who had taken and killed white children to use in savage rituals. The celebration of an organized group of runaway slaves who had combated Spanish military power to free other slaves was possible only within the context of the spectacle of Carnival. And here we close the covers for today of Insurgent Cuba, Race, Nation and Revolution, 1868 to 1898 by Ada Ferrer. I'm Gerwin Jones.